Welcome to Soulful Couples with Dr. Jim and Ruth Sharon.
Give your love life some love.
Well, hello, and welcome to another author interview segment of our podcast, Give Your Love Life Some Love. I'm the co-host, Jim Sharon, and I'm here with my truly awesome wife, Ruth.
Hi there. Good to see, hear from all of you.
And also our guests today are Priscilla and Greg Hunt from the Kansas City area. And the Hunts wrote a chapter called Managing Stress Together in our recently published book, Heartwise. Today, Greg and Priscilla are going to be speaking about effectively dealing with relationship stress and revitalizing one's partnership. So Priscilla and Greg, please introduce yourselves.
Thank you, Jim. We're glad to be here with you and Sharon. I'm Priscilla, and I am the happy wife of Greg. We've been married 45 years and live in the Kansas City area, as you said. We've been involved with marriage education and enrichment for a little over 30 years.
I feel that same sense of joy of being married to Priscilla. She is the executive director of Better Marriages, and we are actively involved now in facilitating couple growth for couples of all kinds at all stages of their relationship.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. So just to clarify, my name is Ruth. Our last name is Sharon. A lot of people do confuse my name. So Jim and Ruth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But we appreciate how much experience you bring to the table. Between the two of us, we've been together roughly 100 years.
Huh? That's right.
Our wisdom to be imparted here.
So could you tell us a little bit about how stress affects a couple's relationship? Pretty obvious.
Sure. Well, yes. And especially this time of year and what's been going on in our world. Greg, you want to start with that?
You know, it really is. Stress is always a part of our lives, and it affects us physically and mentally, emotionally, and relationally, as well as spiritually, no matter what our particular faith orientation might be. In other words, it permeates the fabric of our lives. We do have to tend to that to be sure that it's not working against just our basic physical health, but it can also drag us down and make the days seem harder, longer, and heavier. But it doesn't have to. Stress can also be a positive thing. Without any stress, we'd all just be like boneless chickens.
Wet noodles.
Experiment to that effect, you know, like plants don't thrive in a biosphere with
right,
exactly.
Right. Stress is certainly necessary. Well, we were also talking about how stress affects our relationship in particular. We are aware that it affects everybody differently. And in our relationship through the years, we've discovered that for myself, when I'm especially stressed, and it often has to do with deadlines that I have to meet or having my plate too full of things to accomplish, but I tend to get very task focused and learn through the years that when I get task focused, I sometimes model my behavior after Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I don't want to talk. I don't want a lot of details. I don't want a lot of activity or hubbub. I just want peace and calm.
That translates for me into feeling a kind of loss of emotional connection from her part, which tends to trigger my defensiveness. And so it has helped us to be attentive to our default patterns and as soon as possible to recognize what's going on, where we can raise the flag with each other and remind ourselves of what's helpful and what's not helpful in those moments.
And sometimes not to take the other person's moods personally.
Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greg, you tend to get turn inward a bit and are preoccupied. And one of the things I've learned through the years is that that doesn't necessarily mean you're mad at me.
Right, right.
You know, early on, I used to think, oh, he's not talking to me. I must have done something wrong. And it was really tempting to take that personally. and want to pry and find out what's wrong with you. Why are you so quiet? And it's one of the beauties, actually, of being together so long, because I think we really get to learn each other's patterns and live much more peacefully together.
So what are some of the ways you effectively deal with other couples' relationship stress? Are there some tips or tools, like what you're saying, as you see what your default mechanisms are and you kind of wave the flag, wait a minute, we're going into our pattern.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the things we found helpful is to take what we learned and to give other couples an opportunity to reflect in the same way, namely, to take a little bit of time to get clearer about how we're affected by stress and to actually have conversation together about what is helpful and what's not helpful. For instance, it did us a lot of good for me to take some time and ask Priscilla, when you're experiencing this kind of stress, tell me what would mean the most to you. And then one of the kinds of things I do that just seem to make it worse, and to have an honest conversation about that so that we know, not in the heat of the moment, but in cooler moments, what those things are. We're more likely to be able to call on that knowledge base when crunch time comes.
It's been very helpful to have that conversation, because now I've gotten to where I, one, recognize the signs of your stress, and sometimes when you don't even recognize that you're stressed, or you may be dealing with it internally. But yeah, I think all couples can benefit from having a very simple conversation and to say, this is helpful to me when I'm stressed, and this isn't helpful to me when I'm stressed. I think that can make a big difference.
Yeah, I know you commented on that in your book, in the HeartWise book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of great tips and tools in there. I hope everybody will pick up HeartWise and check out your chapter. So I just wanted to say, Greg, the way that you were asking her those questions had such profound compassion in it.
I heard that,
you know,
too.
There's such deep caring, and it's just beautiful to feel that resonance of the depth that you two are sharing and the respect that you have for each other. So thanks for being a wonderful model.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Ruth. I think you've landed on something that spells the difference, and that is whether we genuinely care for each other. If I'm self-centered and mostly interested in what's in it for me, I'm not going to tend to be as empathetic and understanding toward Priscilla. It is really important for me to stay in touch with how much I love her and to recognize that it's really not all about me, and that there really is an us, the good of our relationship at stake, so that I really want her to experience joy and I want our relationship to benefit and be joyful.
I just want to do a happy dance with that one.
Last night we videotaped a happy, crazy dance last night.
Yeah, that's great.
So tell me, is there a difference between how you deal with what we might call the little nicks and dings of everyday life?
Yeah, we call those pinches, relational pinches, those things that are not huge conflicts. They're not knockdown, drag out fights. They're not major events. They're just the little ways that we feel slighted or unheard or unappreciated. And, I think just giving each other the benefit of the doubt is important. And Greg, you mentioned caring for the other person. Just to have a simple attitude of caring, that I care about you, because we both trust that in each other, we're able to speak up and say, hey, that kind of was a little pinch. That didn't feel good. And I just want to get that out on the table. And if there is something that I misunderstood, I want to know what that is, And on your part, you know, if you're the one who's done the pinch, and it's not often you, a lot of times it's me.
I don't know about that, but thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt.
Equal opportunity here on pinches. But, you know, it gives the person who was the pincher an opportunity to clarify, because I know for myself, those little nicks and dings can really add up over time if we don't address them quickly.
So glad you said this, because I can tell you how many times I'd like to have a dollar for every couple I've worked with who say that they escalate with even trivial, minuscule issues.
Oh, yes, man. Absolutely. And if you will look at those trivial issues when they're happening, life goes a lot better. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about that, Jim, is that thoughts are not facts, and opinions are not facts, and perceptions are not facts. Mm-hmm. And I think it really helps us when we stop and acknowledge that we don't always know what's going on.
Yeah, we may misread the underlying intent or what's causing what we're seeing or hearing, even tone of voice.
Jump to conclusions and label it in a certain way. And so if you stop and have a conversation about those things, it clears the air.
Clearing the air, right? It's like we have that big pile of unpacked stuff and resentments and unfinished conversations. The whole house is full. We can't even breathe, you know?
Oh, right.
Reminds me of emotional reasoning, where if you feel it strongly enough, you think it must be true.
That's right.
Right.
You know, I'm aware that there is a real benefit in an enduring relationship as time goes by, if we are sincerely building a secure, trusting, and trustworthy kind of pattern of relationship. The nicks and dings don't seem as big. I think they seem bigger when we feel like our feet are on unstable ground. So just the in and out of daily faithfulness in staying with the relationship, which is part of the reason there's so much joy beyond the in love feeling. And unfortunately, too many people never get to those deeper layers because they run from one in love feeling to the next. It's when we stick in this relationship as time goes by that it deepens and grows. We build the reservoir of goodwill that makes it easier and easier to keep the nicks and dings in perspective.
And those nicks and dings and pinches of everyday life can really accumulate and end up in resentment. And I had a friend come to me and say she'd been married 25 years and, you know, she had taken a lot of little nicks and dings, and I'm sure given them as well. But it had caused her to feel not close to her husband. And she had come to the conclusion that she loved him. She knew she loved him, but she really didn't like him very much. And because they had become disconnected, all of his flaws tended to rise to the surface, and that's all she tended to see. And so I suggested to her that she take out a piece of paper and a pen and just write down 10 things about him that she loved about him and appreciated about him, and get back to some of that gratitude for who he is and what he brings to the table. And the next time we were together, she was so excited because she said, I wrote down 10 and I shared them with him, and there was just an immediate connection. And I wanted to write 10 more things.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that whole dance of connected and disconnected is troublesome for people.
Mm-hmm. You
know? When people feel separated, they're anxious and they don't feel safe. And, you know, it's treacherous territory. I got to put my protections up.
Right.
When we connect, then we feel safe. So how do we work with that dynamic of feeling disconnected and then have tools to come into being connected?
And not allowing things to fester.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So what have you found that's keeping you so cheerful after these 45 years married?
Well, you know, where do we start?
Right. Well, I was going to say that Priscilla is still this alluring mystery to me. I continue to discover things about her that are kind of the, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And part of it also is that our relationship and each of us individually are a moving target. We're evolving, we're shifting, changing, growing. We find new edges in our own lives. And both of us are dedicated, one of our favorite words, and one of our favorite words in our vocabulary is the word adventure. We love thinking about what might be our next adventure, or how could we take this situation and turn it into an adventure, which suddenly opens up all kinds of possibilities for creativity. And it certainly brightens the spirit to think of it in that way.
And adventures can be very small, mundane things that become an adventure because of our attitude and the way we approach it. We like to live with the word yes on our lips rather than the word no. And it makes all the difference in terms of our outlook on life. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. I've read so many things and heard so many people talk about 2020 and what an awful year it was. And they just, you know, wanted to mark it off their calendar. And it was this negative thing. And I thought to myself, I thought it was a lovely year. It had a lot of stress. It had a lot of things that were going on. But in terms of the way you and I chose to approach life during 2020 is the same way we approach life, period. And it was as okay, this is new. This is different. We're resilient. We're resourceful. We're creative. We can do this. And it's been actually, it has had some wonderful things about it for that reason.
A great credit to both of you. And, you know, we can echo that. We sometimes, I wouldn't say that we feel guilty, but it's hard to talk about that in the face of so much suffering.
Right.
Wonderful 2020, and for some of the same reasons.
Yeah, just getting things into order, finding our priorities and what really matters and treasuring each moment.
Yes.
Yeah, there's just so much of the slowing down and pulling inward that's been really helpful.
Yeah. Yes. And living with the attitude of gratitude, really being grateful for each day and what each day brings.
We have found serendipity in little things. Our lives are a little more circumscribed, a little more confined. Obviously, we're not out as much. And in fact, in part of our local family, we have members of the family who have autoimmune issues, and we want to stay connected and supportive of them. To do that, we've had to really be careful about our social connections elsewhere. But we found through Zoom and through the other kind of opportunities for contact, we can still stay connected to people. And we've discovered or landed on some fun things that we do. Something as silly as we have a daily ritual of playing a card game called Phase 10 that we had never even played until this last year.
Exactly.
And now it becomes one of the little fun breaks from work that we'll do just to enjoy a little casual, relaxed time together.
I think another thing that keeps our relationship fresh is affection and playfulness and celebration and just not taking life too seriously. And you're familiar, I'm sure, with the love language concept.
Of course, yeah.
When Greg speaks my love language, his words of affirmation just flow out of his mouth. And I am overwhelmed with his love. Mm. I'm very fortunate because I'm married to a wordsmith. He's an author and a speaker. And so he's very good with words. And so we're very well matched in that way.
It's a really easy win.
It is.
So what I'm hearing is such a depth of having turned over the soil and taken some of the big rocks out of there, and you've got a flourishing garden now.
Mm. Oh, that's a great picture, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what about the people that have these big rocks in there? The stress has just impacted them and compacted them. And what would you say to them? What are some of the wonderful tips that you could share with our listeners?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is a permission giving word. Sometimes conversations like this can, rather than encourage others, can become overwhelming because they're more mindful of the gap between where they are and the person they're hearing than they are about the potential in it for them. And I think what we want to constantly say is be honest about where your relationship is right now. Make a commitment that you want to take it to the next step. And then do one thing and feel good about that. Celebrate that. So, you know, if you've got, if your relationship's on a ground with a lot of rocks, big rocks, then you're not going to get rid of all those rocks tomorrow. But you can do something and then stop to look at it and say, well, would you look at that? And make sure to take time to affirm and celebrate the incremental, the little bits of growth that can become encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Of growth.
Yeah, working with manageable chunks.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I think growth is a tremendous word to use when it comes to relationships. You know, Greg, you said every day is a new day, or you're still learning things about me. And I can, of course, say the same thing about you. And the fact is that every morning when we get up, we're new people. And I say we as couples, we are all individually, we are new people, whether it's us or we're talking to another couple, right? And so if I am serious about my own personal development and growth, then I'm bringing that into the relationship, and that can't help but enrich the relationship,
right,
and make it stronger. And so the idea of growth, I think, is really important for couples individually and then relationally. And thinking about that boulder, the big rock, I just had pictured in my mind the teamwork of working together to move that boulder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's much easier together than individually.
Uh-huh. Well, what about the couple where the one of the people really wants to grow and develop these skills and get closer and be more spiritually connected, and the other one really wants comfort and safety and just leave me alone, don't push your trip on me? What do you do with that?
Yeah, it would be rare, wouldn't it, that a couple was on the same page about that? And we really believe that if even one person in the couple relationship chooses to change in any way, it changes the relationship. It's like a dance. If one person changes the steps in the dance, the whole dance is different. And so whether it's both people or just one, it can make a huge difference in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and we have a favorite quote that we like to use, the dance of the one and the two. So I understand what you're talking about when we shift the dance, but also when we're apart, we're two of us, and then we dance together and interact and hopefully connect, and that's the one, and then we dance apart as the two. And but dancing back and forth and making that more graceful just helps smooth things out a lot.
That's great. Yeah.
And it does take both of those, doesn't it? The individual dance and the couple dance. Both of those are important.
So you guys have done a terrific job today. We're going to start to wrap things up. And when I say terrific, to me, your interview was very clear. There was a lot of animation in it and a lot of optimism, really very positive messages for people. So tell us a little bit about your work and what you're embarking on these days.
Yeah, one of our favorite things to do is to speak together and lead workshops together and keynote conferences together. That working together has been such a joy. And of course, now with social distancing, We haven't been doing nearly as much of that in person. We have, however, continued to do that on Zoom and other ways. One of our most recent exciting, adventurous undertakings is we have developed the Online Relationship Academy. And the first course that we created for that academy is Managing Stress Together. And it's a self-paced course. It is available 24/7. We did some focus groups several years ago, and we were asking couples, what do you need? What do you want? How can we support? And over we heard, we want it 24/7. When we wake up at 2 a.m., we want something. We want somewhere to go. And so that has really taken really more than 50 years of experience with Better Marriages and taking it online, which has been tremendous. And that can be found at courses.closecompanions.org. It's branded as Close Companions. So there are really two websites that I would mention that are the core websites. The first one is bettermarriages.org, and the second is closecompanions.org.
Thank you.
Well, that's terrific. And we're also building that kind of online presence too. And hopefully we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
Heartwise US, we're building a platform of online learning too. And we're playing with the idea of calling it Heartwise Academy. So I think that's the new
one. Great. Yeah.
Yes. Well, wonderful. So thank you. And Greg, did you want to say any more about your work? Or
Well, we are doing this work together. I have things that I do in my world. Priscilla has things she does in her world. I'm a coach consultant to businesses. But as it has to do with this relationship development, we're excited about video and other resources through Close Companions that we see as a great opportunity on into the future. And we're pleased with opportunities like the one we've had with you to be participants in the writing of this wonderful book you all have created, and to have this opportunity to talk today on this conversation.
Such a valuable contribution, really, to what we're to our work. And it's been great to collaborate with you.
Thank you
very much. And we are now inviting our listeners to apply and practice, you know, some of what you learned today. And in the meantime, do indeed give your love life some love. Ruth, you wanted to add something here at the end, right?
Yeah, I just want to encourage everyone to go to Amazon and look for our Heartwise Deepening and Evolving Love Relationships. So look for that book on Amazon. And our website is www.soulfulcouples.com, where we do our coaching and retreats and work with couples as well. And the heartwise.us platform for the upcoming courses. So it's great to be together. And yes, give our love life some love. It gets we get neglected. So let's give ourselves that love. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.